The meeting is called to order at 7:30. Following commission members, Lori Elkins, Steve Vayette, Jim Grant, Kent McCoy, Don Tarinelli, Maureen Lovejoy, and Janet Downing. Jerry Waters is here, but I presume you're recusing yourself for this first bit.
Yep.
And any input from the audience in public? No.
Oh, now would be the time for me to speak up. Well, we're here to talk about our plan to come up with a pavilion for the slab down in Collinsville, where we have so many events. This mock-up here, which I'm just seeing for the first time, but the first thing that strikes me about it is that when we have the concerts, this section is actually closed off, so there would not be cars there, and people are sitting on the grass and on this here and over here and down at Crown and Hammer. People are everywhere. I'm assuming everyone's been to at least one concert down there. Mm-hmm. The ideal thing about this design is there's no pillar in that corner, so which is perfect because the audience is not just here, it's everywhere. And this really opens up the stage to the whole audience viewing area. So, you know, it'd be excellent for that. And for the farmers market, it'll be a shade. It'll be nice shade for that, and you know many other different events there. So, I think it's the perfect design for what we need. So, with that, I guess you can tell us more about it.
Not too much else. It's got three columns, and I just tipped it so that the sound would go out. And you know, because this is the viewing area right here. And that's why it's like that. And then the back, I actually put a little dormer on the back or a little hip on the back that faces the farmer's market for a little identity in that direction. And I tried to find a band. You can't find band on 150th, you know. So I had to put a politician in there, and it got a little crooked. But this isn't
appropriate.
It's appropriate. This isn't. Was that recorded? This isn't quite to scale. It's a little bit longer down here. So you know, Crown and Hammer's here. Would have been nice to get a few more buildings on it, but this one's back a little bit further, and there isn't anything here. So, but what I see it as, you know, the slab is there, the tile is on it, the slate tile. The columns would be steel columns wrapped with a reinforced gypsum column, and probably to give them some beef, because they don't need to be very big, the steel columns. I'd like to see them painted like a concrete gray out. And then the underside of this, I don't know if you can see the truss underneath there, if everybody sees the truss. Ta-da! See the truss?
Yep.
See the truss?
Okay.
I'd like that to be a tubular truss. You know, not wood, because it's really very flat, and wood would be so big it would just wind up being a solid triangle kind of. So I'd like to see it a steel tubular truss. And then the ceiling would just be drywall, be painted, be white to reflect and everything to keep it nice and bright underneath there. Keep it kind of maintenance free. You would have lights, down lights, that would be built in because once a drywall goes up, you can't get up in there to fish wires and stuff, you know. There would be a couple of other outlets in the ceiling for like stage lighting, which could come at a later time, you know, and some switches down here for these other outlets and stuff. There wouldn't be any sound built into this structure right now. It would still be, you know, portable amplifiers and stuff. And in the future, there could be sound, and there could be, sound's a little more difficult because every band's got their own stuff. Lighting, though, you want to be able to light that up at night, and that's kind of a more universal thing for almost everybody. And then the roof, I'd like to see the roof. You know, one time we talked about like metal shingles, you know, there, which would be really good, be kind of like a galvanized metal shingle, which would be really nice, but the shingles alone would cost more than be cost three times more what we have now, you know, just for the shingles alone. So I thought that we're never going to do that, even though the salesman keeps calling me all the time. So what I thought this would be really kind of nice to do is just do it out of a corrugated metal roof, which is, you know, you can keep it, because when you stand here and you look down, what do you see? The factory, you know, and the factory is what the factory is, you know, and it's got metal, it's got this and that. And if it was just a corrugated metal roof, it could tone down a little bit in the future, you know, it could actually rust a little bit if we wanted it to, you know, and make it look really kind of organic and make it look pretty industrial and not try to, you know, because that's what, you know, Collinsville was built on the industry, and so that's kind of like the image that I was trying to keep for this. Keep it simple, keep it organic, keep it industrial, and it's, but it's got to meet the program, which I think it does pretty well. So we've got some money for it. We got turned down for one, the last grant we went for. Didn't get anything out of them, so just to let you know what the game plan is I'm kind of proposing that we get as many approvals from the town as we can get. And then we go into the town and we say, we've got this much, we've got these approvals, you know, the Historic Commission likes it. I don't think we can get a building permit.
I think
yet.
What I'm gonna do is,
okay,
for the Canton Main Street, I'm gonna talk to them about creating an account and putting in a chunk of money, because the Canton Main Street organization is behind this. And, you know, maybe we'll start a fund and we'll plunk in, I don't know, $10,000 or $20,000, so that it, you know, it gives it a hint of reality.
Yeah, it's good.
You know, to get it off and running, and then we'll do fundraising and somehow try to come up with the money. I mean, we'll put in for whatever grants we can get, or just keep fundraising until we've got enough to break ground.
One thing I haven't talked to you about yet is I was going to have a cover built for it in a base. I would do that. And then we could put it in the lobby of the town hall.
Oh, that thing. Oh,
that,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That thing. The lobby. We could put it out in the library.
That beautiful.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. You know, put a cover over it and put it there with a pot.
Yeah.
You know, it says donations, milk can or something.
Right. I was thinking you should.
Everybody puts money in.
What about putting it in LaSalle's? Well, you can move it around. Put it in LaSalle's.
Yeah, you're right. We could have a LaSalle night.
All right. Yeah.
Put it right next to the tax office.
Yeah. When they have the open mic down there on Friday nights, that'd be a perfect opportunity to talk it up and say contribute, you know, to the band show.
Yeah. We have next summer we have an outdoor concert.
Mm-hmm.
This goes out there.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And,
do you have a name for it? Or you called it the band shell.
Well,
come up with a name.
The pavilion. I mean, one thing that occurred to me is, you know, every stadium and everything has a sponsor that owns the name. So, you know, if we, like, say a Northwest Bank were to give us a substantial chunk of money to it, we could call it the Northwest Bank Band Shell, or if Canton Main Street ends up coming up with most of the money, we could call it the Canton Main Street Band Shell or Pavilion or whatever we decide to call it.
Northwest Bank has a foundation.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, okay.
Okay. One of the people on our board is big person over at the bank there.
Oh, okay.
So we've got our in with the bank.
Good.
Okay.
Good.
Once this gets built, it'll be turned over to the town.
Yeah.
Because that is town land.
Yeah.
So it'll be theirs to.
So the lights and electricity and everything, the town would be paying for that thing?
Yeah.
As it is now.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's a little kiosk where you get the electricity from, but it's the same thing.
I'd like to kind of get rid of that kiosk and put it in one of the columns. You know. That's the scheme.
This is a permanent structure, right?
Permanent structure.
Yeah. You said it's gypsum board on the underside and corrugated metal on the top.
Yep.
are they against each other, or is there
oh, no.
a gap between them?
There's a big LVL beam that runs through here that's picked up by the truss.
Okay.
So it's anchored here, it's picked up by the truss, and then the cantilevers out.
Okay. So there's a gap between the two.
Oh, yeah. There's like 2x10s here.
Yeah. You may want to consider putting like insulation or something, some kind of a soundproofer, because if it rains on that, it's going to be like a drum.
Yeah. Oh. You'll hear it in Burlington.
Yeah. When I redid my my bathtub, my shower, the builder said you're going to want to put insulation underneath there, otherwise the whole house is going to be pumping when the shower hits. Yeah,
we can put some rigid insulation right under the metal deck, so it doesn't go anyplace from that. Yeah, and then I don't know if there's gutters on it. I don't think there are.
Is this Collinsville Historic District?
Yep.
Yeah, well, we saw all the chairs in there, right? So
sorry to interrupt.
It's okay.
Actually, you can hang the drywall on clips too, isolated.
There's a lot of things you can do.
Yeah.
Did you say there would not be gutters? Gutters?
No gutters.
No gutters.
I don't know. I got to take a look at it. I don't really want to do gutters if I don't have to. We're going to be picking up some heavy rain in one of the valleys. We might have to.
Kind of close to the sidewalk that runs along the sound.
Well, nothing really dumps on the sidewalk, though. I mean, this goes this way, this comes this way, and that goes that way, so nothing really dumps on it. But putting gutters on is not a problem. Mm. Just an expense.
And knowing where the water, the downspout goes.
Yeah.
That'd be obviously, something that could be an easy add-on at a later point, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would assume.
I think from a, from a design perspective, it's exactly right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it hits the historic. It's reminiscent of the sheds down at the old sheds that were down in the factory. I think it captures the artistic spirit of the town, the kind of unconventional parts of the town, and it functions beautifully. It directs the sound where it needs to go. It's sculptural. I think it's exactly the right solution. I think it's really good.
Yes, having previously done a design for the same program, I did mine in Saturday morning WWUH Bluegrass. So I had 3 hours, and I had to get it done after 2 months of procrastination. And it was a competent thing, and it wouldn't be objectionable. But this is inspired. I think, like Kent said, it's the right thing. And it does, it's like uplifting. And
I think it does.
Yeah. So I think it's great.
Yeah, I like it too. It's an interesting structure, from my point of view.
Yeah, I asked Jim to help, but he said he canceled his insurance, so he's not taking on any more jobs.
Anyone else? Hear a motion?
One thing. Since this is a town thing, it's an advisory app.
Oh.
All right. So you need to check on the application. You need to check that it's an advisory app. In which case, we can't approve or disapprove. We can just endorse it or not endorse it.
Actually, I mean, is it a town application at this point?
It's town property, is it not? Yeah. Yeah. So it's So I move to endorse the application.
Can we do both just to cover ourselves?
Mm-hmm.
You know, vote to approve and to endorse? Since we're all here.
Sure. Okay, vote in favor? All right.
Aye.
Passes unanimously?
For both, yeah.
Either as a approved application or an advisory approval? Good luck with the fundraising.
Yeah. That's the fun part.
Thank you.
It's great, though.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, that's it for me. Thank you, everyone. Appreciate your
thank you for hanging in there.
Okay.
We'll get together.
Are you the general public?
I am.
Sounds good.
I miss the public.
You did miss the public thing, so you can either speak now or come back next month on time. Not a problem.
My printer kept jamming. I'm Mary Ann Burbank. I'm actually vice chair of the Center Historic District Commission. And I'm also on the Canton 250 committee, which is also addressing the 220th anniversary of the town, 200 foot long Collins Company. So I just, the chair, Gina McGinnis, and I just wanted to share with you about the chair of the Historic District Commission. Canton Center wanted to share with you that, and because my printer kept jamming, I'm very sorry, but I only ended up with two copies, and one is large and one is small, and the library's closed, so I can't make copies, but I'll, are you the like chair and vice chair here?
Yep.
No, I'm making, yeah,
okay.
I'll pass
well,
it around, yeah.
What it's about is, in conjunction with Canton 250 Committee, we have written up and sent out already this letter to all the owners of the residents of the antique colonial houses in the Canton Center Historic District Commission to offer them the opportunity, if they are so inclined, for historic house tours of their houses. We offered it either Memorial Day weekend or the weekend of June 14th, since it's Flag Day, and we thought spring, when people's flowers and such would be out, and I think it explains in the letter that they can just open up like the downstairs if they want. They could, I suppose, just do the outside, but we're really looking to go inside, and that we would make a schedule for them to sign up, for people to sign up, so you wouldn't have too many people at the same house at the same time. We've only gotten so far a couple of yes responses, but some people we haven't heard from yet. But just thought we would let you know that we were doing this. And if you had any interest in doing it in Collinsville as well, do it or not do it. If you decide you want to do it, obviously you could, you know, write your own letter or edit that letter, and it would be, you know, up to you folks to handle the Collinsville Historic District. We're not offering to do it for you, but just wanted to let you know what we were doing, that we were doing that, and see if you wanted to or not.
It's going to be a town-wide project or town-wide event.
The other thing that we thought we might hopefully do in conjunction would be maybe similar time frame, you know, so it's not, you're not doing it in a completely different time frame. The people in the John Brown House have are some of the people who said yes, and they preferred the Flag Day weekend, and I don't know if the others expressed a preference or not. So, anyway, there are going to be some other things going on in the Memorial Day weekend and Flag Day weekend, or at least we hope so, from the Canton 250 committee. So, and I just thought spring would be a good time to do it before people go away.
So would the Canton Center Historic District be sort of the clearinghouse for this?
No. That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
Just wanted to share with you that this is what we're doing. Partly because I'm also on the Canton 250 committee, and so I just am trying to, you know, support that. And because people might like to see houses in Collinsville, and also I didn't want to have us do it and then you folks didn't know anything about it. We're like, hey, you know, kind of thing. So, now it would be up to you. Gina is McGinnis, who's the chair, and talked about working up some kind of, we haven't figured that out yet, but there would be some kind of on the computer, I'm sure, sign up for it. Yeah, it would be town-wide, and that anyone in town or out of town could sign up to go. And oh, there are actually a few people, well, that's maybe a little bit of an exaggeration, but I know of some people, or one person, in North Canton, who is interested, and she was going to try to talk to some of the other people in North Canton, even though it's not in any historic district. Because, I mean, obviously, there can be any antique houses in town. At one point, Kevin Witkos came to one of our Canton 250 meetings, and he was like, oh, we could send out, you know, something like that letter to, like, kind of like to everybody in town. But he hasn't returned to any of the meetings, and I have not followed up with them on that either, so at this point, we're just sticking by the conversations with some folks in North Canton who would be interested in being involved, and then our outreach to the Canton Center Historic District people, so.
Have you got any idea how many people might sign up for a tour like this?
Well, I don't really, but I do know that in, I think it would have been 1956, would have been these, how, what do you call it when it's 150 years, not the centennial, but something.
Sesquicentennial,
thank you. For the town of Canton, that we did have one. And I know that my family's farmhouse at the original Cherry Brook Farm in Canton Center, not the copycat one in North Canton. They had, you know, people came, and I was born till 1958, so I don't remember. But I'm talking to my aunt, who's 92 but still alive, she remembers it, but, you know, this went really nicely and such. So, no, I don't know. I mean, personally, I would love to go inside some of these other people's colonial houses, but of course, I wouldn't be on the Canton Center Historic District if I didn't like that kind of thing. Just like, but I did think there would be other people that would be interested, and I know the museum's going to have something like, I don't know whether to call it a scavenger hunt or not, term was thrown out there, but some kind of a walking tour that they're following up to a certain extent on David Leff's walking tour, but I think they were going to add like a scavenger hunt, like, you know, see if you could find these places in for Collinsville.
Oh, yeah.
So you could talk to Kathy Taylor too to find out about that if you wanted to, if you want to do it, you wanted to coordinate I don't think that's going to be a specific time. I think that's going to be one of those things where they had one inside the museum once where, you know, you would go in and they'd hand you a piece of paper and you could go around and try to find things. So I think it might be something more like that. You just do it on your own time. So probably coordinating would not matter so much. But some people might choose to do that while if they were also going to a house tour in Collinsville. And I'm not really so concerned about how many people might show up as I am a little disappointed that we've only had a couple of yeses so far in Canton Center. But, you know, there may be people who, we sent it out in November maybe, and with the holidays coming and everything, we may send out another, you know, a follow-up, because I'm sure it's one of those things that people said, oh, that's interesting, and set it aside, or hell no, and threw it out, you know. So, could be more people. But having the John, and we're also going to open up the Canton Center Church. I'm on the council there too. We're going to open that up for tours at the same time period. And the schoolhouse, hopefully, across the street, we can get that open and cleared out a bit. So to add to it, so you know, you could always also talk to, like, there's an old schoolhouse here in Colton, you know, the two-story Colton, which is a really cool building.
Yeah.
Or the church, of course, they're opening that up all the time for things like the Halloween parade and such, so people probably know that. Or, but maybe not if they're not from the area. They see it's going on. But anyway.
Is there going to be a fee or a donation?
We had not talked about that.
Lots of times there is, you know, it's a $10 donation to people's gardens and stuff, you know, little fundraiser.
You know, that never
okay for the pavilion.
That hasn't come up in our discussions, but now that you mention it, maybe it is something that we should consider doing.
It could be identified for a little park or something. The money goes to beautify this park.
Or the money to go for the Canton Main Street Pavilion.
That's right.
So you use the term colonial homes. You're not limiting it to colonial homes.
No, that's why I first said antique, but then it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be Revolutionary War period. Yeah. I mean, there aren't very many of those that were built in here in during the Revolutionary War. And it is the 220th 50th. Anniversary of the town, anyway, so that only goes back. Well, it does go back to 1806. What we're talking about. Anyway, no, you can do whatever you want, anyway, besides. But no, just anybody who, in our booklet, you know, you probably have one too, I don't know, we have a booklet that has pictures of all the historic, that's the word, historic houses in the district, and a little bit of a blurb about each one. And we were able to get all the, well, we went to Linda Kessler, I don't know if you know who she is or not, but she is a realtor who lives in Canton. And she was able to come up with all the owners and the mailing addresses. I mean, I guess anyone could do it by going to the town hall and looking up the addresses. So the current owners, because some have changed since the booklet was made. And so, and the town, oh, I should remember to say this, Gina McGinnis went to the town with an event to Melissa, maybe, and she actually printed out address labels for everything, and the town paid the postage for the letters to go out. Gina stuffed them. But like I say, you know, you do whatever you want. I just felt I would be remiss, especially, yeah, go ahead.
Have you ever thought of opening up to all houses? I mean, some people might want to see a modern house.
Well, I think because we're doing it in, no, we haven't, because I think we were thinking.
Not that there's a lot of modern houses in Collinsville, but right. I know a few, and I mean, if you could get somebody with a nice modern house, so, I mean, I'd love to go into it, you know. But I'm just curious if you've ever done that, just an open house, not just historic houses, but right. Like, you know.
Again, you could do whatever.
Somebody could live in a yurt, and somebody might want to see what it looks like.
That's true. I think we were just thinking in terms of historic because of it being these anniversaries, but, you know.
Oh, I see. Yes, tied in with the anniversary.
Yeah. So tied in with the anniversary of the country and the town and the Collins Company, even though that's in your district. But it's just, that's part of Camp 250 committee, which I'm on. So,
not just a house tour.
Yep. Right, it's not just out of the blue, you know, for a reason. It's because of the anniversaries.
What are some of the other activities that are already planned for that 250?
Well,
and
there are some
doing it on July 4th, like the bicentennial back in the 70s was?
We're not doing anything on the actual 4th of July, and the reason that decision was reached was because it was felt that, you know, for one thing, we don't have any budget other than that the town hall would mail out these letters for the historic district. But it was felt that people may be away, or they're going to want to, they might want to go to, or they have family get togethers, or they want to go to a bigger thing in Hartford. I mean, that was other people, but, you know, that wasn't necessarily my decision, but I could also, or my choice, but I could see the logic in it. There is a band concert scheduled for July 2nd at Mills Pond, so we're going to do a little thinking of things maybe to add to that, see if we can get some patriotic music in addition to whatever else might be being played, and decorations, and I don't know.
Fireworks?
Excuse me?
Fireworks?
No, we don't have any budget, so we can't. Partial reading, at least of the Declaration of Independence or whatnot. I mean, I wanted to do, because in 1976, my friends and I rode our horses, this was all the way, there wasn't as much traffic then, all the way from Canton Center to, well, first to like stop at the Canton Center Church. We were dressed in Revolutionary garb, and some of it came from my family's attic, and some of it, my grandmother made us hats. But anyway, and we rang the church bell, and we read the Declaration of Independence on the horses, and then other people in town went to different churches, like down in Collinsville, but we all met up at the high school, where they had an ecumenical service going on outside, and we went barging in and interrupted the service to read the Declaration of Independence. But I talked to a few people with horses. They're concerned about traffic, and I have talked to my minister. I've been encouraging him to work with other ministers in town for some kind of an ecumenical service, even if it's like Flag Day, and then maybe the same weekend as some of the house tours. There's a bunch of stuff. We're going to float in the Memorial Day Parade, but figured it was too. The Memorial Day Parade's gotten so small, relatively speaking, compared to what it used to be. To try to do that and have a parade on the 4th of July, and for the other reasons I mentioned, we thought it would make more sense to do something in the Memorial Day parade. I know my church is going to do a historical float, I think, the Kent Center Church also. There have been lectures that have already been going on. I don't know if any of you attended, like the Wesley Horton one about how Canton And everybody go here because it's very, as members of the Collinsville Historic District Commission, you might want to know this if you don't, that Canton was actually involved in original, was I'm trying to think now, was it status? Was it Constitution? Something with the having to do with the Constitution, because Windsor decided that they were going to take over part of Simsbury, and Canton, of course, used to be part of Simsbury. It was going to, that would have seemed like it was going to be all of Simsbury. It was going to go over into like half of what Canton is now. And Simsbury was like, whoa, wait a minute, this didn't, you can't just do this without hearing, I think the legislature was approving it. And Simsbury was like, you haven't even heard from us. And they argued against it, and I'm trying to remember, because I'm not a lawyer myself, what they stood on, but it got turned back, so it did not happen, which also affected Canton, because it was going to take part of what is now Canton, too. And so one of the original, I have a paperwork at home, if I'd known you were going to ask these questions. It affected the Constitution, or it was one of the first times the Constitution was enacted. I can't remember the wording. But if you go on, if you look at the library lectures and series, or the library emails, if you go back and look, you would find a blurb about it from Wesley Gordon, who was a lawyer, who is a constitutional lawyer. But anyway, there are our other lectures planned. There's a Canton 250 book club going on.
I don't recall that being listed on the library website, although it says on that notice that it is.
Well, Sarah McCusker is in charge of that. She runs the book club. And in October, we read Over My Dead Body about cemeteries and how they developed across the country. Somewhat humorous, too. And the latest one is Destiny of the Republic about Garfield. President Garfield, and the next one we're going to read, I think, is by
Nathan Filbert.
Thank you. And I don't remember the name of the book. There's going to be like lights. The fire department is donating money for red, white, and blue lights to be put on, like maybe the bandstand on the green and other places that I can't remember. And there's still things in the works, like talking to John Squire about what they do at Halloween with the paintings on the stores in Collinsville, maybe doing some red, white, and blue ones. There are going to be programs at the museum. This is all, just trying to remember off the top of my head. I'm not involved with all of them. This is my main baby. Since I didn't get to do the horse thing. But anyway, they're all welcome to come to a Canton 250 meeting whenever you want. It's the first Monday of the month. So next one's February 4th, I want to say. But it's whatever the first Monday is. And it's there at 6 o'clock here at the community center.
And the letters that you sent out, they went to everyone in your historic district?
Who lived in a historic house.
Oh, who lived in a historic
not
house.
Not up to the modern.
And it was to see if they were interested in it.
Right. It's the one that I gave just an inquiry. Would you be interested? We would arrange a schedule so you didn't have too many people at the house at once. People would sign up for like maybe a half hour slot. They don't have to, show the love. I don't think it's true of the John Brown house, and I don't know about the other one, but Katie Kenny, who lives in North Canton, she lives in an antique house, right across from the North Canton Methodist Church. She had expressed interest in doing it. She was the one who was going to try to research some of the other places up there. She said, yeah, just the downstairs. I was like, that's fine. So, and we just thought spring, because the flowers, and it would just be nicer time, tromping around in the wintertime, plus it gives time.
So. Have you checked with West End or Weathersfield about how many people they usually have going through theirs? Because they do these.
West End does?
West End. which is over in Hartford.
Oh, West, the West End of Hartford, okay.
Yeah, they do one. They usually just have a handful of houses on it. They do one every year, and then Weathersfield does theirs. And
to Jerry's point, like they fundraise for it, but it would be interesting to see, like, I mean, I would think as a homeowner, I would want to know, like, how many people are coming in my house? How long do I have to have it open?
Well, they would know, because like I said, we would create a schedule that they would, people would sign out for half an hour, you know, and only so many people would be allowed to come at those times, so that it's not too many people in there.
I would think if we were going to send out a letter, we'd want to put some of those things of like, this is what you expect, you know, if you want, you know, decide you want to participate. Kind of put that out there as a query in advance, and you know, just other people, this is what we've heard for others that have happened in the past.
Well, that's what this letter was basically an inquiry letter. We did mention that we would try to do the schedule and whatnot. So, and as I said, we offered Memorial Day weekend or Flag Day weekend. So, and the Brown Ground House definitely wants to do a Flag Day weekend, so, because that is on a Sunday. My daughter lives in Weathersfield. I've been on at least their haunted cemetery, and which takes you into a couple of houses, but I follow them on, I don't know if it's their historic district or town, on Facebook. So I'll have to maybe make some inquiries about that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Interesting.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Nope, don't want to take up any more of your time. I didn't expect to take up this much time, so I'm glad you're interested enough to ask the questions and such, and, you know, no judgment about whatever you decide to do. It was just to make you aware and offer it up as a possibility.
Appreciate that.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for the time.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
We can have some further discussion on that
later.
What
was your name again? Oh, I'm sorry. It's
Mary Ann Burbank.
Mary Ann Humphrey Burbank.
Oh, she's a Humphrey. And while we're doing things out of order, did anyone take up the initiative to start doing minutes?
I did.
Oh, okay.
I don't know, maybe somebody else did too, but yeah.
Oh, we have a volunteer. Okay. So to ongoing business, review and discussion of information posted on the website, which would be the upgraded guidelines for construction and alterations of Collinsville Historic District. So hopefully everybody's been through it. And
this is mine?
Yes, it's yours.
You got, everybody's looking at the 12/26/25 edition?
Mm-hmm. I have one right here.
Okay.
There's a lot of red on it.
I've gotten a few comments back on that. Just some grammatical changes. What I'd like to discuss is this item B under new construction. What kind of dawned on me when I was going through this, you know, we're trying to figure out how to dovetail into the town regulations. Mm. And we don't really need to. We can, I think we just use the town regulation. I mean, it's very detailed. And not try to compete with them, because everything that goes through the town within the historic district has got to come to this commission anyways. So, you know, when this was written in 77, there wasn't any Collinsville Historic District overlay requirements. Now, if you go through it, there is a lot in there, man, and it's far more detailed than ours. I would be comfortable saying refer to Town of Canton zoning regulations instead of trying to do that, you know, because it's all spelled out there anyways.
So that's why you struck out those two paragraphs?
I struck them out. And then if that's for new construction and for additions, under item two there, I took that right from the federal standards. New additions shall be designed and constructed so that the character defining features of the historic building are not radically changed, obscured, damaged, or destroyed in the process of rehabilitation. New design should always be clearly differentiated so that the addition does not appear to be part of the historic resource. that's what the national standards say, you know, and I think that I think it kind of opens it up, but it also defines really pretty well what we're kind of looking for. And also, additions are regulated by the town standards also. Mm-hmm. You know, we would do renovations and stuff. We've got that covered under restoration and rehabilitation. But the town has got this extensive kind of mind-boggling requirements.
I have a sample here if look anybody at wants
and,
to.
And we don't need to really compete with them.
Get confused. Yeah, it spells out how tall things should be.
Window patterns and finishes, and it's...
It's maybe a little overdone, but...
That's the form-based.
Yeah, form-based code, yeah.
If anybody wants to have a hands-on look at it.
I tried to give everybody a link to that, but I don't think it went through.
And as far as that goes, I don't disagree with what you're doing, but I don't see any harm in leaving the original language in there, but stating that this has been supplanted, overwritten by the form-based code. So I could go either way.
Well, what I couldn't wrap my heads around, my head around, it's like if I'm coming into this town, and I'm trying to figure out what the heck it is I'm supposed to do. And I look at the zoning book, which is law, you know. Mm. And then somehow somebody turns you on to the Historic District Commission, which has got another whole set of standards. So you have to meet those standards, you have to meet these standards, and even if you meet those standards, we get to say yes or no to it. And it just is really, it's not clear cut the way I think things should, the way it should be, you know. But that's my understanding. That's why, again, use the town, and then they come to us, and we'd all have to become familiar with what the town standard is, you know, and that gets updated, that gets brought along by Neil, you know. So. But that's just my opinion, and, you know.
As I understand it, I mean, the town standard pretty much gets the big weeds out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then fine details get sent to us. So we wouldn't get something that would be totally objectionable, because it wouldn't get past the town.
Well,
that's all preliminary.
But the town still, Neil, he still wants us to take a look at it.
Oh, yeah.
If we say no,
yeah.
Even if, see, that's what I don't understand. If we say no, but it meets the town standards, but where does a homeowner go from there? You know, which is what I'm really trying to clarify.
Well, as an example, the four apartment buildings on High Street, I mean, the original design of that, I wasn't on this at the time, but it was something entirely different. And by the time it got through the zoning initial review,
mm-hmm.
they had put the townhouses up on the street and kind of done that layout that does complement the neighborhood.
And you don't think that would have been done through the town standards?
It was done through the town standards.
It was, but hit there first.
But what?
It went to the town standards first.
Yeah.
Did we have any input on it at all?
Yeah.
Other than saying yes?
Yeah, we made some suggestions.
Yeah, I wasn't here for that one.
No.
Yeah,
I can quote my first comment as a commissioner. It's kind of odd. Maybe I'll tell you later.
It's not until later. I'm just trying to clean it up.
Yeah.
You know, so that, like, you saw that chart that I put in.
I like the chart.
I didn't do that. That's actually part of the zoning book.
That's in there.
That's good.
Which should have been, it should be in the front of the book, but it's not. It's kind of buried back in there, I think. But I don't know. I'm just trying to get it cleaned up. But if you're not comfortable with doing it that way, has anybody looked at the town regs yet, besides me?
These?
Not lately.
Yeah.
So this doesn't reflect what the town regs are? This is just more the what you had sent?
Yes. That is not the town regs.
Oh, okay. These are just, okay.
Oh, that's the Historic Commission literature. It's good, it would go on the website.
I still think this is helpful, especially if somebody's lived in town for quite a while and, you know, just wants to do some improvement to their house to just look at these versus to pick up that and go through all that.
Yeah, you know? I mean, this gets really specific. If you're in Collinsville, you're supposed to have a 9-foot ceiling, which nobody has.
You are?
No. I think they can't have a canned book. That's, yeah.
Especially if you bought a house in town, you know, you buy it and...
I think that's something that was a pre-written regulation that slipped through the cracks.
I would say probably.
Yeah, when I started working here, I took that was being worked on, and I just like went through it, but it was too late; it had already been approved. But see, that would be just for new construction.
Okay.
Which is new construction and additions.
Yeah. So that's all right. Well, additions.
Which is
so additions is a little bit more, but. I mean, it seems like most of the people that we have coming before us are people who, you know, have owned the house for a while and are coming to make repairs, improvements, whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's why I thought this was good, because it's much more comprehensive. And, it, you know, they can look up specifically, okay, I'm going to do a wall, I have to do this, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, if they come in and we have comments, whatever, you can send them to this or ask them to, you know, if they needed to look at it. But this is much more manageable, and I think people will not be, like if somebody gives them this, they're like, oh my God, you know, I'm going to cancel.
Well, people would give them that, plus they'd give them ours.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, that leads back again to when we talked about, which we haven't done, when people buy in the district, you know, somebody going over and giving them like this, or, you know, we talked about the advantages of being here, or the what they need to think about if they bought in the district, and get them educated right from the beginning. Because otherwise you just don't know. Oh, you're in a district and you have to go to the commission. And I mean, you know.
No. Like a newcomers club that,
but
you spell it out. Yeah.
A pamphlet.
You know, again, we talked about going to the realtors, and there's not that many. But you know, when they sell to somebody, or somebody's looking at houses in the district, you know, you just give them a pamphlet.
Mm-hmm.
Or when they buy, they put in an offer. Accept it.
I do think that's important, because a lot of people have no idea when they buy the house,
right,
or if it's even in a district,
mm-hmm,
probably.
Well, it does say it on the those disclosure forms now,
uh-huh,
which have been around for a while, but I think people just kind of scan right
over.
But it does, they have to
they don't know what that means.
They really don't know what it means. Oh, it's a historic house. Oh, that's nice. Mm. You know. And say that the commission is available to consult with, or, you know, give guidance as you go through the process. You know, sort of that would have been helpful.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we can get to that. I don't know how we implement that, but I think.
I mean, could we ask the building department, like if somebody comes in for some sort of renovation and they live in the district, that they get a copy of, you know, at the time that they get their application for a permit?
They're supposed to.
Oh.
Sometimes we do, sometimes they don't.
Oh, okay.
When I was there, we did.
Yeah, I think it's getting pretty much better.
Yeah.
Pretty much better.
Yeah, we got
Don't pick on me.
I know, I never got anything when I moved to Collinsville.
Yeah, in my house 15 years, and I found out it was in the federal district. Now I got a little plaque that says federal.
I mean, I knew it was in Collinsville, but I never got anything. It's that, you know, you can't do anything without going to the commission.
I got a lot of things, this code is changing.
Yeah, what?
06022, 06019.
Oh, that, yeah, that's the postal. That's what I got, yeah.
So I have one comment that, on the original guidelines, under the original eight, under number seven, contemporary design for new buildings and old neighborhoods and additions to existing buildings or landscaping should not be discouraged if such design, yeah, just the contemporary design, if it's compatible, should not be discouraged. Mm-hmm. I didn't really see that in your revision.
Well,
I think that's important to keep.
I thought that under additions, is that under additions?
No, it's just under the main eight.
Well, see, I mean, but see,
principles.
The town regs overrule that now. Right?
For new additions.
No, for new construction.
Oh, for new construction. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you're
doesn't
right.
It? I mean,
yeah.
All right. That's what I'm trying to.
But it's funny how some of those guidelines, they're misguided, actually. Like that notion of 9-foot ceilings.
Oh, yeah.
Would put a house so out of scale to everything else in the village. It would be, you know, it would look like the one that's being built on East Street right now.
And that's sort of the core of why we're here. You can abide by the form-based codes and still construct something that is a sore thumb in the neighborhood. And the idea of the Historic District Commission is not only do you have to follow the specifications of the guidelines of the form-based code, but you also can't do something that just throws your building out of whack in terms of mm-hmm. its historical significance and history.
Right.
You need to maintain, so even if you're doing a new construction add-on to mm-hmm. your house, the add-on can't be, like I said, a Frank Lloyd Wright construction on a colonial building. Even if it matched the code, even if it was okay by code or by form-based code, you could do that. You, by our consideration, you can't do that because you're changing the nature of the building in doing mm-hmm. so doing. And I think that's what we're supposed to do. That's why they like us to look at it first. We're supposed to be looking at this before the building committee reviews it. They want to know if we're okay with what's going on. And then they decide, okay, are you building it according to the code that's there? But first is the historic district. Are they okay with what you're trying to do to your building?
So are you saying, just for clarity, that it goes zoning, historic district, then building department?
Yeah.
No, then back to zoning because right. they're the
then back to zoning.
Then back to zoning.
I think they want us to see it first.
Yeah, but what if zoning says what you're presenting to us the second time around doesn't meet our zoning regulations? Yeah. Does it come back to us again?
I would assume so. If they have to redesign it,
that's the bouncing ball I'm trying to justify here.
If they redesign their plan as a result of that, then yeah, we would have to re-review it.
But what
it's
if
not
we say
the same
no?
design.
Yeah, see,
even if we approved it, we approved a certain design, but they found out later on it doesn't match form-based code. They did something in violation, and they had to redesign it. Well, that's we didn't approve the redesign, so yeah, we have to re-review it.
But how does that
how
help?
Does
how does that help a client?
Then work because people are going to want to do a 9-foot ceiling to form-based code, and we're going to say it doesn't meet the neighborhood, so it can't be 9 foot. And now you're stuck in this.
Yeah.
Circle of, I need to do 9 foot to do form-based code, but historic says you can't do 9 foot because it doesn't meet the neighborhood.
But does it say you have to, or that you can't?
Part of the form-based code.
Is 9 foot?
I don't know, it says it has to, but
Neil
there's a
says,
lot of things in there you have
no,
to do.
There's a precedent of them getting rid of that 9-foot ceiling because it doesn't meet the,
yeah.
okay. it doesn't fit in.
So. Right.
There's also some weird stuff, I mean, talking about the East Street building under construction. So I did get a call from Nathaniel, and the owner of that, who tends to push any limit he can possibly do, raise the floor level up using the argument that the previous house was below the street and water ran into it, which is why it rotted out. And my response was, we want to keep everything as close to where it was, but but I can't argue with that. Mm-hmm. And I've had a couple of houses I worked on this year get raised, and I'm very glad that the site people said, you know, what looked good on paper, it looks stupid out here, and raise it up. But that is one of the reasons why that particular house stands up that much higher. And like, if you go on the high street at those townhouses, you know, they're up there, and then the poor fellow who bought the thing across from Mary, he's in a hole. I mean, his house is like 3 feet below the, you know, and so, I mean, there's a certain point where you don't want to stick to the historic precedent if it's bad.
Well, it wouldn't pass the building code either. I mean, you got to have 8 inches of foundation wall before you get to framing, and then you got 10 inches or 12 inches of framing, so that was going to raise
Yeah, but if you're on a hill, you could do that down here. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're putting it up here.
It's up a ways.
Yeah,
yeah, but I walked by the other day.
Yeah, no, it is.
You talk about that one, Russell Bush's?
Yeah.
The tarp house.
It looks huge.
It is huge. But this, I mean, I went up in it, and the ceiling height is 8'3", and I can reach 8 feet, and it's not 9 feet, but it's so it's within a few inches of what it's supposed to be, because I was expecting that it would be more, because that's kind of what I expect from that character.
We went inside the.
Yeah. I'm not supposed to.
Well, see, this is exactly why I'm going through this exercise, to try to figure out how somebody that comes to town, this doesn't happen. I mean, because I've seen it happen with Zoning Board of Appeals. It's just like nobody knows who's on first half the time, and people just go back and forth and back and forth. And you got these regulations and those regulations, and I mean, If you wanted to hold off, I mean, I'm trying to get this out the door also, so mm-hmm. we don't just beat it to death. If we want to hold off and everybody just take a look at the Collinsville Overlay Historic District requirements and see what you think, see if it's something that this commission can say, yeah, we can live with that, and then the document says, see zoning for new construction, and then it also says whatever it says there for new additions.
Will the document have a link to the zoning in it, so then somebody doesn't have to then go look back and forth?
It certainly could. Yeah. I think I tried that. I'm not a link guy. Yeah. Or successful link guy, I guess.
Can you successfully link it so we can see it?
Oh, boy. Yeah, I think so. I'll give it a try. Pressure. Whew. But then there's some part about the additions here, you know, that I took directly from the federal requirements.
Yeah.
That's what they say about additions. You know, they don't want them to try to duplicate the house. They want them to be, you know, they want them to be, should always be clearly differentiated so that the addition does not appear to be part of the historic resource. Now, you're not supposed to keep expanding it. Yeah. It doesn't do the original building any good at all. And then additions are also covered in that book, and they also have to meet the building code. So you've got all this stuff, and I'm just trying to simplify it. Because I know if I came into this town as an architect and I wanted to do it, I'd be like, what the hell? You know, I don't know how you do it.
It just comes down to, does it look right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I don't know exactly at town hall if anybody really takes a plan and goes through that book and makes sure that it meets all those, you know, I mean, you can write whatever you want, but somebody's got to implement it.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of stuff that's written that's never implemented.
But I mean, I've had stuff kicked back to me from Nathaniel.
And you have?
Okay. Yeah, and some of it's kind of embarrassingly elementary, but that's how it goes. So, yeah, he does
go through it, okay. Yeah. So you want to just hold on this for another month?
I'd like to review the zoning to see if it's appropriate to just pass this off to them.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I agree with what Jerry's saying, that's a new path.
And putting the link to it would be great, but right now you're asking us to approve a link that we don't know what it is.
Well, I did ask everybody to take a look at it, in my defense.
Yeah, that.
I mean, that's what everybody has to look at, is that.
It's hard
you know?
To find.
Yeah.
Maybe they need to put that on their website.
Yeah. Well, it is on
their
website.
It is on their website.
It is on their website.
You that's go where
through,
I got
you
it.
All, you go through all these districts. It's got North Canton Historic. It's got Corner. It's got the Corner. And then it says.
Okay, then I apologize for
see,
not
I
doing my homework.
I thought you were seeing it here, so I just.
No.
Oh, okay. No.
But see, then it goes to other districts, and Collinsville is under other districts for some reason.
Oh, why is that?
It's like, I have no clue.
Center has one, but we're under other?
We're under other districts. And then you get to Collinsville. Then you can get into that. So
how
I will.
How many properties are in the Canton Center District?
Not a lot.
I was going to say, I drove through it the other day. I didn't see very many. I don't know.
If I'm a homeowner.
I'm still looking for it.
And I want to make some changes to my home or an addition or something like that. And I'm told I have to go to the Historic District Commission, get it reviewed. My question is going to be, what does this commission do? What do they review? We don't review what zoning is. Zoning takes care of that. We don't deal with form-based code. We don't deal with that. We don't have to deal with that. Those organizations handle that. What if I come to you, what are you going to be looking for? What am I supposed to be prepared for? That's what this document should be. And we're looking at the historical consistency.
But we got two documents that are trying to do the same thing.
Right. That's the
is
problem.
Is it the same thing?
Yeah. Well, that's why I want everybody to take a look at.
Yeah.
Take a look at, I'll send the link out to.
I can't find it. I'm still on the town's
website. Oh, it's not easy. I'll clue you.
Right, because the form-based code enters into the world of form, where building codes didn't used to.
Right.
Other than
zoning
height
codes.
And width yeah. and all. Yeah. So. It does muddy the waters a bit because they get a little bit into our business here.
I follow.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
So what is the additional thing that we
bring to the table?
Yeah. Well, let's take a look at that thing,
right.
And then we'll have a discussion
okay.
on that.
Right.
If we think
yeah.
we need to.
I can follow that. Yeah.
Okay. I will try to send out a link.
And there is a chart in here, which Jerry sent to everybody. This chart that sends you,
I think they could probably.
Maybe I don't know. There's a chart that you follow through this code.
I was going to say I would never read it on a phone.
If you're at this point,
so I get to the page.
I guess it is this one. And then. So if you go into the zoning office, they'll open this, and then they'll tell you what you have to do. It's not easy to use.
No.
No, it's very detailed. You know,
I found that actually on the zoning regulations appendix. So there's an appendix to that. Everything's there before to get it.
Okay.
Okay. I'll send out a link.
Page.
All right. Thanks.
On to new commissioner introductory packet. I think by now, are we all happy with that?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any new commissioners coming who need one? Yet. You know, we'll get to the next
July,
thing quickly.
In July or August, you will. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, old business. Inventory of Collinsville Historic District Structures.
My last meeting.
Oh. It's been 20 years. It's time to hang up the hat.
Nope.
He's going to keep us in order.
Nope. You got to go back every Christmas. Okay, sorry.
My wife got the cookie recipe.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Uh-oh, I think I just set myself up, didn't I?
Your wife has the recipe. Get off my back. Make your own.
Finalized inventory of Collinsville Historic District structures, and let's stop there. Do you have everything from everybody at this point?
I do. There were 6 properties that I think, like, after the weather is better and everything's melted, we probably want to go get just a few more pictures. But I was planning on going in on a quarterly basis anyway, so anything that we meet about, we can keep adding that in. And then I did get from Neil all the way back to 2017, so I got that spreadsheet. So they don't have the details as far as, like, if we approved it with conditions, but it just says approved or denied, but it at least shows that we've got an application related to a specific item that we can attribute to the property. So we're good back through 2017. I guess the question, I know we had talked about going all the way back. If we need to do that, they're going to have to pull it by property to be able to do that. But maybe we can, on a quarterly basis, just give them a batch and have them pull that, and just slowly over the next year, get everything in all the way back to the history. If you're agreeable to that, and then we just kind of get on this cadence of, like, every quarter, any new applications we've got, we put in, we update it.
Then we can make a nice booklet like the Canton Center has.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, we can take that. It's a PowerPoint, so we can choose whatever we want to extract out of that and make it public. But there is a lot of stuff as far as the application. I don't know that we want that stuff.
How does the town file our old applications? How is it sorted in their records?
This is what they gave me. So they have an Excel spreadsheet, just has general information. Now, I would assume those are stored and organized in some way, but they actually track this information spreadsheet.
It's filed by the application
exactly,
number.
Exactly, and date.
All right, so if we tell them we're looking at this property, they have to go back. There's no cross-referencing.
Yeah, so what I did with mine was I just went in with that sheet that we were given to break it out, and I said, these are my address numbers. Yep. Can you look them up? And he just had to go in and just look up every address. Yeah. That's why I think if we do it on a quarterly basis and just give a small batch, there's not going to be a lot. Mm-hmm. And he can let us know. And he just emailed me the results back. Like, it was pretty easy. But I'd hate to go in with the whole thing. Go here.
So
maybe if we just let them know it's coming, and we'll do it in batches and slowly, you know, get that historical. But at least we've got back to 2017. And then I do have as well. So I created an Excel spreadsheet to track all of the owners on there. So it would be really nice if we had the ability, like, when properties are selling, someone would let us know so we know to go in and get the new owner information. But I put it on an Excel spreadsheet too, to be able to just track it kind of like this, where we can see that things are rated an A, a B, a C, a D. Like, if they're getting in that bad territory, we know what's going on with it. But it's broken out in a way that if we wanted to do a mail merge and send out the letter in future to people, it's got the sections in there with the name, the mailing address, the property address, the city, the state, so we could do a mail merge from it. I don't know how to do a mail merge anymore, but it's laid out to do a mail merge if we wanted to do just a generic letter out.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So really, it's just a matter of knowing when properties are selling, so we can get that updated, so it stays.
And when we know what we want to say in a letter too, say for the district mailer, we're a certified local government, so there are grants available through Preservation Connecticut specifically to underwrite that kind of thing, community outreach and education and all that. So we could probably get it the printing and mailing paid for by Preservation Connecticut.
Okay, the next part of this is the commission's role in preserving the historic integrity of such structures. And that goes to the ones that are in the B or CD and whatever. A while back, I had attempted a draft of a letter that I was kind of uncomfortable with.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Be that as it may, the point of all this exercise is to get that information to these people before it gets to the Sunset Terrace or right. whichever level. So that bridge does have to be crossed. I mean, maybe just from what you were just saying, it might be good to send a letter to everybody saying that the Historic Commission has made a survey so that people know that. You know, we've looked and we have, and then there could be either a follow-up or they could be individually written or a little individual part. Your property got an A and you're great. Or your property, we noted some areas that might need attention. And the sooner you get to it, the less painful it'll be.
Or even if an initial letter had something like, you know, you're in the district, welcome, you know, and we're the Historic District Commission, and we're here as a resource to help you. And we know about things like funding sources and all that, so it's an encouraging, uplifting letter, not a, you better fix that shutter.
Yeah, almost just kind of pointing out, like, the skills that exist with this group that we understand that maintaining a historic home is an expensive and difficult endeavor, and, right. and we're here to, you know, work with you, give you guidance, you know, help you overcome some of the challenges, that sort of thing.
Okay. All right, well, I'll volunteer to do a draft of that.
Great, and I'll look into the grant from Preservation Connecticut.
Okie doke. On to minutes.
Just to let everybody know, I'll send this link out, but I'm not going to be here next for the next meeting. Florida.
I'm going to be in Colorado.
No meeting.
Are you a skier?
Yeah. Or I was. Last time I went, I started realizing.
Maybe not.
There's things I used to be able to do that don't work anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, powder. Powder only?
No. Okay, so any questions, comments on minutes?
I wasn't here, so I have to trust you all. That takes stuff.
Just notice that this was a special meeting today.
No, it was a regular meeting.
Right. You got legal notice special meeting.
Huh.
Typo. Not to worry about it, I guess.
Where's that?
The agenda.
Oh, yeah.
Every meeting is special, so.
Mm.
I can put that in minutes.
That's a long time ago.
Seems like it.
Do we need a motion? Okay. I move that we approve the minutes of August 12th last year.
Second?
I'll second.
Vote.
I abstain.
August 12th.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Wow. Yep.
I don't remember whether I was.
Let's see.
Am I listed there?
You were there.
You were here.
Oh, I was there.
You don't
okay.
remember? Come on.
You don't remember the scene August you caused?
12.
The motorcycle covered that 4-6 Center Street. Remember that debate?
Oh,
I do remember the...
There you go, okay.
I didn't get a copy of the minutes, I don't know why. Mine didn't print out. I look like I must have confused you with that merciful.
Did anyone get a schedule?
No.
Well, we kind of, no schedule. It's the second Tuesday of every month, except for whatever weird holidays show up. Okay, so we're good with that?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. High Street Station, I did correspond with Bill Volowski back in October. A little positive news. Kevin Witkos finally realizes moving the building over onto the town property is the best way to go. He recently authorized the CAO, whatever that is, to update the agreement with the Fletchers to accomplish this. The Fletchers are in agreement, but have been at the Cape for the last few weeks. He'll be coming home soon. They also asked Will Sweeney to specifically put in writing what he was offering to do in terms of moving the building. Kevin had never seen that directly from Will. I think we have made everybody happy. After the agreement gets signed by the Fletchers, we still have to update the site plan, apply it to ZBA to approve the final location. I just have to keep all this on Kevin's radar, but I think he's finally sold on the project, Bill. So that was 3 months ago, and I dropped the ball 3 months ago, or I haven't followed up or done anything since then.
What is there for you to follow up on?
Yeah, would it be the zoning application?
Actually, yeah, I don't know. Just pushing things along. There was the selectmen changed, and I spoke to one of the new selectmen. I can't remember her name. Sarah Faulkner. Mm-hmm. And she would be a good person. I told her about this job, or whatever this is, project. And she would be a good person to light a fire under, because she moves things along.
Okay.
And I was starting to update, you know, fill her in on everything about this when I sent this email to Bill, which is his response, and then other things in my life came up. And here we are.
Who's going to request the information from Sweeney?
That most of the contact with Will Sweeney has been through Bill.
Okay.
So I'll follow up with Bill and Sarah Faulkner and see if we can get this open for the bicentennial.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which one?
Yeah, we'll go for the can bicentennial. Oh, okay. I guess it's 25 more years or 30 years.
Is it 130? Is that what it is? The can bicentennial? Oh. Or centennial, whatever it is. Canton
anniversary. Okay. Collins Company redevelopment, I know nothing about it.
I haven't heard anything.
Yeah.
And I took the Sunset Terrace barn off your agendas, but when I was getting this at town hall, I did talk to Rand about it. It's
still standing, right?
Yeah. Barely. So it's beyond salvageable, really, at this point. And
some mention I'm trying to contact somebody that disassembles and moves and stores the stuff for further use.
It's a good idea. I thought about it. You thought about it. It's what I said to Rand is our group doesn't quite have the horsepower to jump on every possible thing, because we don't.
Yeah, he's got the legal authority to do something.
Yeah.
I think it's really back at Rand's court now. Mm-hmm. He's got to take some kind of action.
Yeah, oh no, he knows he's getting there because it's getting to a point where it's dangerous.
Yeah.
They just moved the tarps from down the road a little bit.
And then, do we want to have any further discussion on this open house thing today, or put it off till next month?
I think it's a good idea, but.
I was hoping she was going to say yes when I said, are you going to be the clearing house for this? Because it's just one more thing that needs to be done and coordinated and all that.
And there's not that much time.
Right.
I mean, you're talking about doing it in June.
Yeah.
Or Memorial Day.
Right.
Well, Memorial Day makes more sense. I certainly don't want to do it on Flag Day for a particular reason, but I'll leave that out.
So she said that they only sent this letter to a select number of houses. Well, she said historic houses in their area.
Yeah, but a select number of those historic houses. I think they cherry-picked who got the letter. So I think the first thing would be is cherry-picking who those houses would be in the area. And sending a letter and see if they are interested.
I think we'd have to give them more information about expectations. So, like, if I saw that letter come to me with poor font and no letterhead and no details about what's happening, it's going in the trash.
Yeah.
Like, I just can't imagine wasting time on it. So I think we would want to be a little more professional about what we put out there, what we're expecting of people. If we think we're going to get a response from them, we've got to say, like, we would limit it to, you know, no more than an hour in your house and away your personal belongings.
And it's a fundraiser.
Yeah, exactly.
That gets people just not wandering around and coming in your house.
Right.
You know, you've got to pay a little money. You're going to get signed up.
You know, Mike,
would we just go through our pictures and say, this would be a nice house to go through?
They
we'll have to drive around and do a survey.
A walking tour of the town, right? And then I think he actually made a pamphlet so that if you wanted to, you could do it on your own.
Yeah.
Does anybody know how many people participated in that?
When did they do that?
He did that, what, 4 or 5 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He did that?
No. And I think it was like 25 people at a time or something.
He had that many coming?
Maybe not even. I'm saying 20, 25, something like that. But, you know, maybe rather than send out letters to everybody in the district, would you be interested in doing this? We could act as a jury and select 8 houses in the district that we think would be exemplary of the district style of architecture and invite them.
And my son's house in East Hampton was on a tour. What they did, and actually they do periodically, pick a few houses in the town, in the district, and open those up on a kind of a rotating basis. So eventually almost all the houses in that district get included.
Mm-hmm.
But all those houses are all pretty much historic.
And so is it expected that the homeowner is going to be the one present, or would there be someone that understands the architecture and the historical period that would be leading the people through and kind of talking about?
Right, both.
Probably.
I think you'd want the homeowner there.
Self-guided and the homeowner
most
control.
Most homeowners want to be there, but sometimes they don't. I mean, on other house tours I've been on, and then you have like a docent.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've
seen
that. Who
takes a group of so many?
Right.
What do you?
Oh, really? And he's in Hampton?
East Hampton.
Oh, East Hampton.
When we built our house, we used a passive solar design. And that first year, we were on the PACE tour. And the PACE people assured us that they would be managing the logistics of having people come to the house. They wanted us as the homeowners to be there to explain why we had it designed this way, what we were hoping to do, achieve, and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But they handled all of the trafficking and all that kind of stuff, and they did. So it was a combination of both the organization and the homeowner working together to make that happen. So,
but those are big tours, or they were.
They were big tours. Yeah. We were open for, I don't know, like
all day.
They still
four
have
or six
them.
Hour period.
Yeah.
They still have them.
Yeah.
Now they call them spotlight tours, and they have gathering at one place like for many hours, as opposed to sending you out on projects.
Is there a damage and insurance risk with this?
Mm-hmm.
That would have to be contemplated by the town.
It's a nice idea, but the more it gets thrashed around, the more obstacles show up.
Yeah, I know. And then you think of parking in Collinsville.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, everybody shows up to see Maureen's house. There's nowhere to park.
I was going to say, I think you need much more time to put something like that together.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, it's already February, basically.
Yeah.
So you're talking like 2 or 3 months. Just not enough time to...
I mean, the best I could say would be to kick a date towards Labor Day.
The next September.
Well, maybe sometime in September and see if we can get it organized enough that it's doable.
Or, as you suggested, Steve, that notion of a self-guided walking tour where you, look, you're given a map, and here are the houses in the district, and a little bit about each one, and you walk around and go, oh, that's what that looks like.
Well, they already have the walking.
And then there's no liability, you know, there's nobody going into your house.
You're just looking at it from the outside. Which is really
what we're about. Oh, they have that, right. For sure, yeah.
And they could park wherever and walk around the village.
And they have listening.
There's already a brochure out doing that.
I do think what David Leff used to give for Sam Collins Day was pretty good.
Right.
It is nice to have somebody kind of leading you around and telling you a little bit about the history of the town, and maybe include in that a little bit of the history of some of the houses. And if an owner wants to be there and let people, you know, look in, they could, but there's no expectation, you know?
Right.
And that, I think, would be nice.
And that sounds doable.
It is doable, because you wouldn't need all that planning, and you won't have to, no insurance issues and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, they have the walking tours already on the website. They have the...
I've never seen anyone
doing
one of
those. You can listen to them, and they direct you.
Oh, they
listen. They have a little map, and then you click on the house, and it has a little... Tells you, listen here, and tells you when it was constructed.
Which website is that?
Who put that together?
It's on our...
Ours has that?
Put that together.
No, it's on cantonconnecticut.org.
It's on the...
But it's on cantonconnecticut.org, our website.
We got to grab that and put it on ours.
There's three tours. There's the red tour, the
field trip, and
there's the red tour, the blue tour, and the green tour, and they have maps, views, and narratives.
Maybe we, as a commission, ought to go on it.
I was going to say, I didn't...
What is the education? Connecticut.org?
I knew they had those brochures because they have them in the things there.
Yeah.
Town of Canton, here's where you go. Town of Canton, visitors, sightseeing, walking tours of Collinsville, walking tours. And then they have, see the historic view, see the current view, listen to the narrative, enjoy the walk. They have a red, blue, and green tour.
Well, that was
click
easy.
Click on the red
got
tour.
It all done.
There's all the houses, and if you click on any of those houses, gives you a little voice narrative of what this is.
How come I can't do
really?
That?
You can listen to it. Here it is.
Canton Historical Museum, 11 Front Street. Constructed in 1865,
David's
the storehouse for plows.
That's David?
This slate-roofed building has two stories in the basement.
It's already there.
I don't know how to turn it off.
We just, as a commission, we ought to go on that tour. We got to get together someday.
We should
say, all right, let's go. Let's do the green tour.
So, like on the
we should find out how to charge for that.
Of visitors.
On the red tour, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's 24 houses on the red tour.
Shut.
Then there's a blue tour and a green tour. What tour are you? Here's the maps.
I don't know. I've never seen it before. Sorry about that.
So here's the red tour.
It's funny.
Are you there?
What the hell? So
could you send us all a link to that link? I would love to see that.
I have the same problem Jerry has about links, but...
I can send the link. I've got it right here.
Okay, thank you.
Here's the blue tour.
Yeah, if you go under the town accountant site, under the visitor section in sightseeing, that's where it's listed.
Visitors.
There it is, walking tours in Collinsville.
Okay, I got the visitors. Oh, sightseeing. You know, some of these things, they have to tell you that you can scroll, because that's not something I think about. That was after I had to, like, press these three dots in the upper corner, because there was nothing else there.
You know, unless these houses are all living museums, I don't think it really makes much sense to go in.
Go in, I agree, yeah.
My son's case is actually the Cape. It's all interiors.
On the blue tour, 26 Center Street. It should be the old library building. No? 13, 26.
I think I saw that.
All right, why don't we sleep on this for a month?
I think we ought to just, some nice day, we ought to just get together and go on one of the tours.
Good idea.
None of those are yours? You're like this one? That's 26.
It'd be fun. It'd be a fun thing to do.
Yep.
Find out the one of our houses.
Yeah, see which color you're on.
You can see, now that's the Swedish church.
I'm ready to call it a meeting. Whatever time it is. Oh, 9:01.
9:01.
Motion to adjourn the meeting. There we go. Meeting's over.
Party's over.
Okay, I'm going to leave because.
So are we going on the red tour the next meeting?
I think those are going to need to be corrected. They have no addresses.